In Jamaica, it is believed, homosexuality is believed to not be a black people thing. It's not African. It's a foreign thing that has been introduced to the black people.
Times have changed, and I'm a part of the process, and I'm giving my all to it.
I felt my music was stagnant, and this was an opportunity for me to create something, Colton Ford, that potentially could be utilized in a different way that hasn't been done before.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. West Australian voters reject rights repeal politics, embattled Jamaican activists never say die, and will a porn star's naked fame enhance his singing career? Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 5th, 2005. West Australian voters appear to have rejected their state's Liberal Party, whose leader Colin Barnett had said he'd work to repeal some of the state's two-year-old equality legislation. When he made those remarks in December, polling indicated he'd easily become the state's next premier, a prediction supported by the National Liberals' gains in Australia's elections. But while the West Australia results could take weeks to be finalized, the State Australian Labor Party appears to still hold more seats in the Legislative Assembly than any other party, and together with the Greens, they will still outnumber the more conservative Liberals, Nationals, and Christian Democrats. The ALP's Jeff Gallop will continue to serve as premier, as he was when the state passed the landmark legislation that dramatically transformed the legal status of gays and lesbians in West Australia from one of the nation's worst to one of its best. The state vote also returned three openly gay and lesbian lawmakers to the legislature.
Barnett had said he'd seek to raise the age of consent for sex between men to 18, compared to 16 for other partners. He wanted to deny same-gender couples both adoptions and access to family court to settle property disputes on dissolution. He also planned to deny fertility treatment to all unmarried women. He said these moves were designed to protect the institutions of marriage and family. Even the Liberals' coalition partners, the Nationals, were not much interested in taking up these initiatives, seeing other issues as much higher priorities for the state. In response, the group Gay and Lesbian Equality West Australia, GALWA, along with other community organizations in the state, mounted a vigorous grassroots campaign against the Liberals.
The challenge of resisting a move to undo legal reforms for lesbian gay equality is one few communities in the world have yet had to face. But one was also resolved this week in the U.S. city of Topeka, Kansas. It's the home of the peripatetic anti-gay campaigner Fred Phelps and his Westboro Baptist Church, known for their slogan, "God Hates Fags." Topeka's city council had set out recently to establish civil rights protections from discrimination based on sexual orientation. Faced with vocal opposition, they ultimately enacted only a non-discrimination policy in the city's own employment policy. But even that was too much for Phelps, who led the petitioning to put a repeal measure before the voters. That initiative would also have repealed the 2002 edition of sexual orientation of the city's hate crimes ordinance and would have barred the council from enacting any protections for lesbian gay civil rights for the next decade. But this week, Topekans rejected the rollback by a margin of about 6% in unofficial returns. The same ballot featured a primary election for city council in which Phelps' granddaughter, Jael Phelps, fell far short of unseating openly lesbian incumbent Tiffany Muller, who will face a runoff next month. Muller was the first open gay or lesbian to be elected to public office in the state of Kansas and introduced the Topeka Civil Rights Bill.
There are no national U.S. civil rights protections for lesbian gays, and this week, the Federal House of Representatives passed a bill that the opposition Democrats charge features government-sanctioned discrimination. The Workforce Investment Act has long funded job training programs, but the latest edition for the first time allows any church groups that run those programs to discriminate on religious grounds in the hiring of program personnel. That provision is designed to sidestep state and local protections from employment discrimination based on sexual orientation. Republican President George W. Bush called for similar language to be inserted in other federal grants programs as well. House passage came by a margin of about 5%, with Republican supporters including a dozen Congress members who'd received campaign endorsements and support from lesbian gay organizations. One of them was the lone openly gay Republican federal lawmaker, Arizona's Jim Colby. The bill moves next to the Senate.
Meanwhile, U.S. state legislatures continue to advance state constitutional amendments to deny marriage to same-gender couples. South Dakota voters will see one such proposed amendment on their ballots in November 2006, following a Senate vote this week. Less than 60% of the Senate supported the move, compared to 80% support in an earlier House vote. The governor's approval was not required under the South Dakota system.
The hurdles are a little higher in Virginia, where the proposed amendment's appearance on the November 2006 ballot will require both houses to approve their amendment again next year. But it passed its first round this week with approval of identical wording by both more than 80% of the House and 75% of the Senate.
South Carolina's proposed amendment has yet to reach the Senate, but House approval this week came by well over 90%.
Indiana's proposed amendment has yet to reach the House, but about 85% of the Senate supported it in a late February vote.
But there have been some U.S. state moves favorable to same-gender couples as well. The Montana Senate this week passed a bill to create a state registry where individuals can designate whomever they please as next of kin for purposes of hospital visitation, medical decision-making in event of incapacitation, and custody of remains after death. Although this bill would aid many non-gays, the opposition to it was primarily homophobic. That could dim its prospects in the House, which in late February defeated a bill to add sexual orientation as a protected category under the hate crimes law.
And there was an advance even in Virginia, which is the only U.S. state that bars private as well as public employers from extending spousal health benefits to their unmarried employees' domestic partners. In late February, the House approved repeal of that stricture on private businesses by a one-vote margin. The Senate had already given it nearly two-thirds support, and the Democratic governor, Mark Warner, has said he'll sign it.
Hungary's government announced this week that it's developing legislation to create registered domestic partnerships for same-gender couples. Those partnerships would carry most of the benefits of marriage in areas including Social Security benefits, property, and inheritance, but would exclude adoptions. The Justice Department plans to publish its proposed changes to the Civil Code in 2006 and to introduce them in the Parliament in 2007.
Sweden may soon eliminate one of the few differences between its gay and lesbian registered partnerships and heterosexual marriage. Currently, fertility treatments are limited to women with male spouses or cohabitants, but unnamed sources in the Swedish government were reported this week as revealing plans to give lesbians in registered partnerships equal access to those treatments, including parental status for the partner not bearing the child. Swedish public radio Ekot said the ruling Social Democrats had already agreed on the move among themselves and with the Left and Green parties and expected the change to go into effect in July.
But New Zealand's new civil unions remain controversial, with an estimated 15,000 opponents marching in protest this week in Auckland. Some 30 gay-supportive counter-demonstrators tried to block them by sitting in the road, only to be moved aside by police as the march began. About 200 counter-demonstrators had various altercations with marchers along the way, but there was no reported violence or arrests. The anti-gay Destiny Church organized the protest, which ended in a rally at a park. That was briefly disrupted by two women who ran onto the platform and kissed before the crowd before organizers removed them. Originally, the march was planned to cross Auckland's Harbour Bridge, but official permission was twice denied on safety grounds.
It was lesbian gay trans pride that took to the streets elsewhere in the Southern Hemisphere this week. In South Africa, hundreds marched in Cape Town's annual pride parade before a crowd organizers called the largest ever. Mayor Nomanda Mfokoto gave a send-off speech. The parade, with its floats, costumes, and after-party, climaxed Cape Town's 10-day pride festival.
And finally, in Australia, an estimated 450,000 people lined the streets to watch the 130 floats and some 6,000 marchers of the 28th Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. This year's theme was Our Freedom, Your Freedom, and featured marchers with the flags of the more than 80 nations that criminalize homosexual acts. Naturally, marriage was much represented, with couples ranging from Prince Charles and Camilla to Prime Minister John Howard and U.S. President Bush. Howard also appeared as the head of a giant snake on a float entitled Adam and Steve, Ada and Eve, and the Garden of Freedom. That float was accompanied by dancers in fig leaves carrying oversized prop apples.
The Grand Marshals were the lesbian family whose appearance on a children's TV show caused great hoopla last year. 8-year-old Brenna Harding and her two mums, Vicky and Jackie. Brenna and Vicky Harding are also authors of a children's book called The Rainbow Cubby, about children of gay and lesbian couples, and gay-supportive MP Tanya Plibersek celebrated the Pride Festival this week by reading that book to Year 3 students at a local school with reporters looking on. The Sydney Star-Observer reports that after the reading, Plibersek asked the class what they thought would happen next. Shockingly, one boy responded with glee, "They're all going to die!" But it turned out that that wasn't homophobia at all, but because of a comic moment in the book when, in the boy's words, they ate potatoes that had dog spit on them.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 5th, 2005. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
There's only one side of porn star Colton Ford that his fans may not have seen, and our Steve Pride will uncover it later in the program.
There were lots of debate and discussion and people coming to realize that, you know, these lyrics were really inciting violence against the LGBT people.
And the only time that gays and lesbians will be seen as a force to be reckoned with is when our brothers and sisters internationally intervene on our behalf.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Stand up for the rights of lesbian, gay, bi, and trans people in Jamaica, and you take your life in your hands. But the members of the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, or JFLAG, still believe that their lot can change. To help them achieve their dreams, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch recently sponsored two JFLAG activists on a 7-city networking tour around the U.S. In the first two parts of this conversation with Gareth and Carlene, whose full names must remain secret, the discussion centered on the homophobic violence that rages out of control in the island nation, the brutal murder of JFLAG co-founder Brian Williamson, the success of international protests against incendiary reggae lyrics, and the potential economic impact of the government's stubborn anti-LGBT position. As their visit with This Way Out's Lucia Chappell concludes, the talk turns to the cultural and historical background of Jamaica's sexual politics, the lessons learned from their U.S. cohorts, and Gareth's and Carlene's hopes for the future.
Why is it that those homophobic, heterosexist attitudes are so ingrained in Jamaican culture? Where does that come from?
One other thing is that in Jamaica, it is believed, homosexuality is believed to not be a black people thing. It's not African. It's a foreign thing that has been introduced to the black people, and also dates back to the days of slavery when the white man, you know, would, of course, you know, take on to himself the black man, and he would molest him. And, you know, these are the things that are, you know, are embedded in the Jamaican mind. And as generation grow old and generation come and generation go, these things are still instilled. Then we also have the church that plays a very integral part also. The church preaches every day fire on homosexual. It's wrong, you know, if you're in a church and you're discovered to be a homosexual, you're chased out of your church. The church does not want to have anything to do with you, and this should be a place of refuge for you. They should be, you know, as my colleague Gareth would say, try to convert you, then try to change your mind. Instead, they chase you out. These are the things that really embeds the homophobia into the Jamaican people mind, because, you know, they're very Christian, and then, you know, the cultural part of it, you know, every day you hear, you know, this is not something, you know, that was born onto us. It was something that we adapted. It's a disease and something that can be cured, you know, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and also when we find our political leaders, both parties, using for their campaign songs, songs with homophobic lyrics, and they embrace it and they use it. What it is saying to our society is that it's okay. Gays and lesbians have no place in Jamaica. And what we want them to understand and to come to a realization of is that that's not so. And even if it was so a few years ago, times have changed. And I'm a part of the process and I'm giving my all to it. And for what I can give to JFLAG and for what I can give to my fellow gays and lesbians in Jamaica, I'm going to give it. And it will never be the same after I make my transition. It will never be the same.
An account I read about the election I found very interesting. They were the opposition was accusing Prime Minister Patterson of having some closet activities, and they actually used the Boom Boom song in their campaign.
And then the PNP used Log On and Step on Chichimba. You know, when we really look at the highest internal authority and power in our country behaving in that demeaning manner, it's very appalling to see politicians actively participating in inciting violence against each other.
Because of their
That is the reason why we have such a high crime rate in Jamaica. Jamaica has the third highest crime rate in the world. And then we ask ourselves as a people, what is happening? It's not about economics and we're not being able to give more jobs or create more jobs opportunity. That's not the situation. It's not about the loans that we owe to European countries or to America. No, it's about the things that we have embraced as a people, the things that have been instilled in the minds of our people and our young generation by our leaders right across the board. And if we do not change that mindset, we ain't going to get out of poverty. We talk about poverty alleviation. It ain't going to work. It starts with the mind. And if we can't change that, and coming from authorities, it's not going to work for us.
What do you think you can learn here about changing those minds?
LGBT people here in the U.S. have come a far way comparing to where we're at and where they're coming from. Because as it stands right now, you know, they can now try to go and fight to have, you know, gay marriage rights and health benefit rights and all of that, you know. So they must have done something right to even reach from our stage to the stage that they're at now. So whatever strategies that they've been using, we're here to learn that and to see if we can apply it to our society, because it is really a far, far, far way. We are not even on the bottom rung of the ladder yet. I really don't know. I ask the question a lot of times, and you know, how did they get to this? Although yes, they are still faced with homophobia, you know, across the country, but it's not as bad as Jamaica. So, and Jamaica is a small island. So, you know, there must be something that LGBT people here are doing that we are here to learn. Even when we go back home, you know, we are still going to be keeping in touch with people that we've met so far who have said to us, whatever it is, whatever strategies is, we can work this out. You know, we are willing to learn. We're open.
Yeah, and the learning experience also is that, for me, is America and other European countries, gays and lesbians, many have died. Many have been physically abused and that kind of thing. So there's a common pattern. And for us, it doesn't make sense that we quit now. We have come a far way. And even though our officials have not yet given us a platform for a dialogue, with persistence and hard work, we're going to create it. And once we get that avenue, then we're going to get what we believe in and what we want.
I believe you will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us, Gareth and Carlene, from the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays. Thank you very much.
And thank you for having us.
For This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
You can find more information about the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays online at www.jflag.org.
This Way Out is supported by tax-deductible charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. It's you, our listeners, who keep this program on the air, and you can get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs as a bonus. For all the details or for audio cassette subscription information, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
When a middle-aged singer-songwriter gets famously naked, can he ever dodge that image and don the hat and other clothing of a musician? Gay porn superstar Colton Ford answers that question under the glare of documentary cameras in the new film Naked Fame. This Way Out's Steve Pride recently met with Ford to get the inside story from the bi-professional entertainer.
I surrender my heart.
Once upon a time, there was a struggling singer named Glenn Sarkazian. In the mid-90s, he changed his name to Glenn Street, had a major record label deal, and sang with several R&B recording artists, including Chaka Khan. But an act of serendipity in 2001 turned Glenn Street into Colton Ford, adult film superstar. Before he tells the story, I should explain that his partner Peter is better known as porn star Blake Harper.
When Blake and I got together, I knew what he did. I knew where he was in the pecking order. But I'm not one that really has followed porn, so I hadn't really seen any of his films. So I got to know Peter. I had done nude modeling and stuff. I was comfortable doing those things. And we had talked about the fantasy of porn and what it was like and all that kind of good stuff, because he had the insight that I didn't have, having been in it for so many years. And he was going to do a project for All Worlds, Pornstruck 2, and his scene partner was shortly after 9/11. His scene partner was in New York and couldn't get a flight out here. And I coincidentally was going out to Palm Springs the same weekend to shoot with Jeff Palmer, just stills for a calendar. And so Peter approached me and said, you know, would you like to try this? You know, careful what you ask for. Here's the opportunity. Would you like to take it? And I did. I really didn't think I had anything to lose. At that point, I felt my music was stagnant, and this was an opportunity for me to create something, Colton Ford, that potentially could be utilized in a different way that hasn't been done before.
In August of 2003, less than 2 years after his first adult film, Colton Ford began filming Naked Fame, a documentary that explored his journey back into the music business.
Yeah, is Joseph there, please? It's Kyle Nevin from DMG Publishing. Okay. It's Kyle Nevin. Scott Anderson gave me your phone number. We actually are going to be in New York next week. I am a songwriter and a producer and an independent record label. I'm the songwriter for Lonnie Gordon. I'm the guy that wrote A God That Can Dance for Lonnie Gordon. He wrote for Amber and Lonnie Gordon. And I had a record label out in Australia, an independent dance label through Universal. How you going? This is Kyle Nevin. Good. Listen, I got your number from Michael Paoletta over at Billboard. His name is Glenn Sarkazian, but he has an AKA of Colton Ford. Now, Colton Ford is a very, very famous gay porn star.
Part of the joy of Naked Fame is its depiction of the loving relationship between Colton and his partner Peter, better known as adult film star Blake Harper. Ford is also blessed with understanding parents who are supportive of both his career choices and sexuality.
I think I was always aware that I was gay. I think it wasn't until I got into my 20s where I was able to process it to the degree that I could start sharing it with family members. And the first person I shared it with was my father, who I knew was going to be very receptive and non-judgmental, because he had dealt with that issue, not homosexuality, but being judged by his family for so long. So I knew he wasn't going to put that on me. And I came out to my mother a little later, just because I didn't want her to blame herself or feel like it was something that she did wrong as a parent. And I should say that I grew up with my mother and stepfather and not my father. But I think my mother was just more sensitive just generally, and it was something that weighed heavily on me for a while, which made it difficult for me to feel comfortable enough to be forthright with her. So it probably wasn't until my late 20s when I finally came out to her. But I think I was always, you know, I was playing with the boys on the street. You know what I mean? And I didn't really think anything of it. It didn't feel like it was something that was wrong or that I had to figure out until I kind of got out in the world and realized, you know, there is something different going on here and something that for some people is an issue morally and otherwise.
Holden Ford may have put the adult film business behind him, but he's not ashamed of his past, and in fact believes the experience serves him well in his current career.
Do you know the difference between sex and love? One rides on your ecstasy, the other soars above. Get down on your knees and sip my jeans and see what I got in store.
You know, there's something very empowering about being able to get up on stage naked and not be in your head. And I've been performing all my life, but there's a comfort level now that I have because of my porn experience. For me, it was an extension of the performer in me, and I bring that to the table when I go out and perform now. I enjoy it. I enjoy being provocative, and it has given me that sense of myself. I don't think I really gave myself permission to express as much before. And the other thing that I really recognize is that the porn business has nothing on the music business. I knew that before going into it, but it really, I mean, it's, you know, I think people think because of what adult films are about that it's much more heinous and evil and dark than it actually is. The music business is 100 times worse.
Colton Ford has since released a top 10 Billboard dance hit, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, featuring dance diva Pepper Maché, and is getting ready to release his next single. Naked Fame is being distributed in the U.S. by Hear Films. For more information on Colton Ford and his music, point your internet browser to ColtonFordMusic.com. And as always, you'll find more information at PrideOnScreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Peter Tosh and Colton Ford and Pepper Maché performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. It's you, our listeners, who keep this program on the air. And you can get some queer history and top music and movie reviews on specially produced audio CDs as a bonus. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KVSC St. Cloud, Minnesota, CFUR Prince George, British Columbia, WRPI Troy, New York, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we know you'll stay tuned.